strength and power. Yours alone now and forever. Above this world could never stop. There is no one like our God, reaching down to touch the broken.
Give him some glory. Let's praise him. In Jesus' name, we love you, God. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We want to welcome our guests this evening. If you're here with us, you can fill out a connection card. Hopefully, you were handed one of those. If not, you can get one from one of our ushers or from the kiosk, and you can then hand those back at some point to the ushers or drop them off at the kiosk. We have a small gift for you. If you're online and you're a guest of ours, we encourage you to go to the bit.ly link there and let us know that you're with us. We want to follow up with you, let you know how much we appreciate your joining us. Our giving options, you can give in the offering box at the kiosk in the vestibule. You can mail in your offering, or you can go to our website and do that there. Or you can, if you have our church app, the Church Center app, you can give right through the app on your phone or whatever device you're using. Amen. We do want to thank you for being here, especially if you're a guest of ours. We're always excited to be in the house of God. It's good to be in God's presence. We do have a number of people who aren't here due to illness, and we're going to pray for them in just a moment. Remember, next Wednesday, January 19th, will be a missionary service. Karen Poole, missionary to Lesotho, will be our guest here at Calvary Gospel Church. And then coming up on the 20th and 21st, Purpose Institute, spring semester begins. Amen. If you want to grow in your understanding of apostolic doctrine or your understanding of the Word of God in general, Purpose Institute is a great place to do that. The classes take place one weekend per month for 4 months, January through April, and there are four classes each weekend. You can sign up for all four classes or just for one if you wish, and a Friday night is open to people who are not enrolled. It's open to the general public. You can come just for Friday night and take in the teaching that's there. If you have any questions, you can see John or Jessica Rivest. I encourage you to do that, and you will find that if you do attend Purpose Institute, there is an excellent atmosphere, a great dynamic there. The teachers are experienced and learned ministers in the United Pentecostal Church and in the Wisconsin District, and the fellowship that you enjoy there is worth the price in itself. So please consider Purpose Institute starting on the 20th and the 21st. Okay, if you don't mind, let's stand and we want to pray. Here's a question that will get a response. How many of you know someone who's battling with COVID or has recently battled with COVID? We don't have to think too far or too hard about that. We have a lot of brothers and sisters who are, and there's other flu and cold going around. There's a lot of need for prayer. So let's keep our brothers and sisters in prayer. Let's pray for our service this evening. Pray for Pastor Jerry, but also pray that each of us will have open hearts to hear the Word of God. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for your presence in this place. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we, oh God, enjoy your presence. But as much as we enjoy your presence in the moment, God, we ask for your blessing and your anointing for the days and the weeks and the months to come. We pray especially for our brothers and sisters who are battling with COVID or so many manners of illness at this time of year. We pray, Lord God, let our hearts be quickened with your word in faith for those who have needs, O God, that we can believe, O God, for their healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we release the word of healing, the word of even miraculous power by the authority of your name. In Jesus' name we claim it. We pray for your blessing, O God, upon the remainder of this service, that our worship will be pleasing to you and it will be uplifting to everyone who hears it. And we pray, O God, for your anointing on the music team and upon our Pastor Jerry as he brings us the Word of God. That every heart be open and every mind be receptive to the Word of God, that you may accomplish your purpose in our lives and in our hearts. And we will give you thanks for it. We'll give you praise and we'll give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your name is healing.
every stronghold shine through the shadows. Burn
I'm defeated.
Jesus, he's our champion tonight, amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's an awesome Savior. He's the King of the whole world, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's our champion. He's never lost a battle. He's never faced an enemy that had a chance. Amen. And he's for us. And we're for him, amen. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about our theme for the year, which is Simple Church. Pastor Roy introduced the theme on our last Sunday morning. And the theme scripture is Acts 2:42. I'm going to read Acts 2:38 and Acts 2:42 right now. If you'd like to stand, I'm just going to read that scripture. And then we'll get to talking about a few things that we're going to do this year. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." This was the what I would consider the pivotal point between the Old and New Testament. I literally consider Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John Old Testament. They were still living in an old covenant. Jesus prophesied about something that was coming. The Holy Ghost was coming. The church was coming. There was going to be a new thing. So all of, I believe, in my opinion, that the separation between Old and New Testament was before this moment. And this was the pivotal moment where everything turned and the gospel was first preached. And then if you'd read down to Acts 2:42, which is our focal scripture for this year, our theme. And what I would appreciate if you, when you guys get home, or if you have some way of putting it on your screen on your computers at work, or if you want to put it in your car or your work truck, or just even write the scripture down with a Sharpie on some one of your tools at work, and just reminded when you grab your pliers that Acts 2:42 is the scripture for the year. And that is this scripture right here. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And Pastor Roy's vision this year is simple church. We're simply going to have church like the apostles had church. Amen. You may be seated. These are the basic building blocks of the church: doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And I'll just be honest, I didn't grow up in church, so some of these things came more natural to me as I began to study the New Testament. Doctrine was pretty easy for me. It was pretty cut and dry. This is what's right, and there's other things that are out there that are wrong. But the Bible has doctrines.
and those doctrines should be followed. And it is pretty cut and dry a lot of times. Some of it you need to study more than others. Other ones are pretty straightforward, like Acts 2:38. That's a doctrine of salvation. And everything revolves around that doctrine. If it doesn't apply, if it can't fit in Acts 2:38, you need to relook at how you're perceiving it. So that's a doctrine. Second one is fellowship. Fellowship I struggled with because I guess for the first few years of my life, I attended church. First few years of my life as in the church, I attended churches that didn't focus on fellowship in a lot of ways. In fact, I don't know that I've ever been a part of any church that focused on fellowship very well until I got to Calvary Gospel Church, which seemingly has a strong fellowship. You guys love each other. You hang out with each other. You do life together. But there's been churches I've attended where I walk in, I sat there, we heard the doctrine. The doctrine was preached. We had an altar call, and we went home. And that was the entire interaction of the church for the week. You didn't really interact. I never ate with the pastors. Never ever had any fellowship. And so I'm still learning to develop a complete understanding of fellowship in my mind of what that entails. The third building block of this of a simple church is breaking of bread. I'll be focusing a little bit more on that in just a moment. And then the fourth one is prayer. And so prayer is an obvious one, and that was one of the ones that came very easy to me. I understood how to pray, or I should pray, and then I learned more about prayer, and prayer became doctrine and prayer were one of the easy ones. But for me personally, fellowship and breaking of bread, I didn't comprehend because I didn't come up that way. You know what I'm saying? And so tonight I will be focusing on fellowship and breaking of bread. Acts 2:46 says, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I think that this "such as should be saved" adding daily scripture was prefaced by the scriptures right before it, that they continued steadfastly. They were going house to house. They had singleness of heart, gladness. They did eat their meat with gladness. Breaking bread, amen, daily, one accord, breaking bread. It's hard to remain enemies when you've broken bread together. Have you ever heard that statement before? I don't know where it came from, but I've heard it a couple times in my life. It's hard to remain enemies whenever you've broken bread together. I don't know if you ever had a little friction with someone at work or somewhere, maybe a school, at school or whatever, a neighbor or whatever, but you came to a point at a table where you guys had a discussion, and maybe you didn't even leave in agreement, but the anger was lowered and the hostility was lowered. You spent some time eye to eye across the table with that individual, even if you didn't completely agree or you didn't have a complete resolution. The breaking of bread, the moment of taking the time to sit and listen to someone else and interact with them, help the situation de-escalate. I believe that. In fellowship, the definition of fellowship is friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. It can also mean a group of people meeting to pursue a shared interest or aim. It also means the status of a fellow of a college or society. I think that whenever a doctor becomes a doctor, they take that Hippocratic oath that they become in fellowship with other doctors. They're a group of people that have the same understanding, the same interest, the same hopes and dreams and aspirations, the same goals is to help people to be healed, amen, and not to hurt people. The fellowship, and so there is more than fellowship than just playing basketball, but it can include playing basketball. There's more to fellowship than just eating with one another, but it can include eating with one another. But fellowship is a deeper connection of shared interests, and lots of times are very serious shared interests. And I think that in our fellowship, in our congregation, that we all share the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the New Testament, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of holiness, the doctrine of life, living life as a Christian. And so because we all share these interests, we have a fellowship together. You understand what I'm saying? So our fellowship is based upon something. Our fellowship of this church is based upon the Bible principles. It's based upon also the location which we choose to attend and worship God. We have a fellowship here that is also based upon who we call our pastor and the church that we attend. And the people that we choose to fellowship with, we have things in common. So some of these things might sound simple, but later they'll be more important. Breaking of bread, so it took me a while to understand fellowship, and I think I have a grasp on it now, thinking about these concepts after 20 years of study. Some things, you ever have something that was seemingly should be very simple, but it's just kind of eluded you in complete thought? You know, like, I can't really grasp the whole concept of fellowship. I think I'm starting to figure it out better, that it's more than just hanging out. It's we're in this together. We fight for each other. We're for each other. When you have a need, I'm there. And whenever I have a need, I know you'll be there. We have each other's back. That's what I believe a fellowship is all about. Now, breaking of bread is separated in the scripture, and I think it's for a good reason. The definition of breaking of bread is pretty simple. It's to share a meal with somebody. The expression means more than just eating. It's sharing a sense of brotherhood with someone or some group of people. It is a significant event that fosters some meaningful connection and cooperation. Perhaps you have an enemy, like I mentioned earlier, and breaking your bread with someone indicates a sense of forgiveness or moving forward in an affair, even if you can't agree. You see a lot of times world leaders will break bread whenever they go to a foreign country. That's part of the meeting. You know, they come together, they shake their hands, they might talk over across the table, but they also usually will spend a meal together. And showing that, hey, we're all humans, we have things in common, there might be some differences, but we're willing to talk. Amen. And so this expression has biblical origin. Obviously, Jesus, when eating with his disciples, would break bread, which was a much harder than typical bread today. It was required to be broken rather than to tear it like we would think of bread nowadays. And the person who was breaking the bread, responsible for breaking the bread, was also the one that usually was passing out the pieces to be shared among them as a group. Now tonight, I just want to make this very clear. I'm not suggesting that we go back to biblical rock hard bread in any way. So if any of you think that we're doing this wrong because the bread is not super hard or whatever, no, I'm not talking about that. I like those cheesy biscuits at Red Lobster just as much as anyone else, and I just want it, you know, buttered down. I like my bread with butter. And very, very soft. I don't want to go back to the old school hard bread. But in modern day, people use the phrase to break bread with someone when talking and sharing an emotional experience along with their food. It usually is a coming together of some sort, as in all the members of a community broke bread together and shared ideas on how that they would improve the area. Or it could be two leaders, they meet and they broke bread and they forged a partnership between their two nations. Has anybody ever experienced a moment across the table with somebody that you didn't necessarily agree with, or maybe you did agree with, but the time that you spent at the table, eye to eye, listening, and they listened to you, that you knew that something occurred at that moment, breaking bread, that was significant? Am I the only one here? Come on, help me out. Here I got to do this whole raising the hands thing. I'm always the one that's asking. Okay, if that's ever happened to you, raise your hands. I just want to know if I'm making a connection here tonight. I believe that the reason why I'll get to it in a minute. So the phrase to break bread with someone is to share a meaningful connection over a meal, often bringing together two people or groups who previously had reason to be disconnected. And if you, everyone say with me tonight, connection. 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 And so tonight, the sermon title is Let Us Eat. And I have been in doing different types of church functions for a long period of time, 15, 20 years now. A lot of that time was spent serving and waiting on tables, and lots of times not in this church, thank God, but in previous churches, I was the one responsible for the meal preparation a lot. Anybody been in that been in the kitchen, you know, knee deep in dishwater, and you're the one that has to go get all the groceries, and it can be a pretty taxing deal, especially if the numbers get over a couple hundred. And so I've been responsible for ABI banquets. I've been responsible for section Christmas banquets and big, huge meals and all these types of things. A lot of times I was so busy worrying about taking care of everything, I didn't have a whole lot of time to figure out that people are enjoying themselves just eating and not paying attention to all the details of the meal, but maybe they were mostly focused on each other. And so maybe that's some of the struggle. I'm a little bit more like a Martha and not like a Mary. That I just worried about Mary's not helping me do the dishes, and she's over there talking with Jesus, and I think that somewhere along the line, I need to change. I don't know if anyone else has that same problem. If you're the kind of person who goes to Burger King, and before you get down the road like two blocks, most of the burger's gone, the french fries are gone, you're about this far down the soda, and you eat super fast. Anybody else like that in here? That's one of the problems, okay? So the idea is to slow down, hang out with the people you're with, enjoy each other's company, and eat slowly, which I'm starting to learn how to do. The other day we went to a Cajun restaurant with the staff. Some of the staff were there, and we were eating some boiled shrimp and things like that. It was awesome food. And the whole time, my internal time clock was like, ding, ding, it's time to go. Okay, guys, what are we still talking here? Ding, ding, ding. It was like I kept on getting the prompt like, okay, we're supposed to get up. Who's going to push the chair out first? Ding, 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 ding. We were like for 45 more minutes. I'm thinking to myself, here I am feeling that pressure. Like, I got to keep on going. I got to keep on going. I got to get up. This is wasting time. I took a deep breath, and I'm like, here I am Wednesday night. This was yesterday. I'm going to be preaching on this exact problem, is that we have not learn to take time with each other. And I feel like sometimes it's the Industrial Revolution came and kind of destroyed the way of life of the old farmer who would get up every morning and eat breakfast with everyone, and that was like early in the morning, and ding, 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 they'd ring the dinner triangle, and everyone would come home and eat lunch, or maybe they ate out in the field, but they sat on a stump and they had lunch together. But for sure, dinner was going to be awesome. And they all sat around the kitchen table, they all grabbed each other's hands, and they all prayed over the meal, and they had a time of fellowship, breaking of bread, and they talked about the important things of life during that time. During the Industrial Revolution of the United States, it seemed like that because everyone needed to go to a 40-hour work week, and it was very regimented, that breakfast was more like Pop-Tarts now. You just stick it in the toaster, hurry up, get out, get to the car, get to work, so you can punch that time clock. Come about lunch break, they blow the whistle, whoop, whoop. You knew it was lunchtime. You hurried, you grabbed your lunchbox, you shoved the bologna sandwich down your mouth, you drink half the soda, you said two or three things to somebody, whoop, whoop, whistle would blow again. It was time to go back to work. Back to work, everyone. Lunch is over. And somehow we lost, I think in American culture at least, breaking of bread. Like, breaking of bread doesn't even sound like a modern statement almost. Is so weird. Now, we have made new versions of it. I think coffee shops have taken a large place in the breaking of bread. Like, why is coffee worth so much money? I can't understand. I never comprehended why anybody for a long time would go to Starbucks and pay $6-$8 for coffee. Now I don't even question, because I want to go down and I'm going to sit in the Starbucks, chill out with everybody. If I got people with me, we're talking about important things, right? Or maybe not important, but we're having good fellowship and fun. If I'm there by myself, I might be just on my computer. But for some reason, that $7-$8 is worth the environment to be able to break bread for a moment and just breathe easy and not feel the pressures of life. And I feel like that is something that an element, a biblical element that we're missing. And I feel like in 2022. Am I speaking to anybody tonight? I'm hoping I am. But in 2022, I feel like the most powerful element that we have in outreach and connection and reaching the lost, and especially bringing back backsliders, is going to be using our dinner tables and the tables in every restaurant and wherever it is that we're eating. We slow down and we invite people back into our lives, and we take extra time and extra care to make the connections that are needed to talk about the important things of life. You're like, what do you mean important things of life? Well, I think all of us have very valuable spiritual information that needs to be dispersed to the people around us. I don't know how to say this, but in the Jewish culture, it was very important whenever they come together that they would eat together, but they would talk about their very important things. And I think that the Jewish children benefited the most of this. You see, Jewish folks, they're always super rich. They're all doctors and lawyers. It's crazy. Like, they, how in the world do these kids, they just start off with like a step up above most other people? Like, everyone kind of makes fun of how wealthy and successful that they are. And the only thing that's been much different is the way that their whole entire culture is based upon feast and eating and coming together and fellowshipping as a family. I think in those moments of connection that the children get to learn things that maybe some of us didn't get to grow up learning, shoving the McDonald's hamburger into our mouth in the back seat of the car while we were hurrying to get somewhere. I don't remember a lot of important conversations during the times in the Taco Bell line. Fast food, I don't think, has served us well as far as our connections to our family, our friends, our fathers, our mothers. And so I just feel like tonight that to come back to this point of connection, this point of communion, this point of breaking bread, this community where we talk to each other, we interact with each other, we have fellowship with each other, we share our shared interests and talk about them together, most often over a meal. In fact, the weirdest thing about all of this to me when I study it, which is kind of a bizarre thing, is that the only thing that all of us have in common, the only one thing that we all have in common, is that we all eat. We don't all go to the bed at the same time. We don't all like prefer, you know, the same kind of truck. You know, some of us like Chevy, some of us like Fords. We're not, you know, that's not probably a great thing to talk about over the dinner table, but maybe, you know, I don't think we all have the same ideas. We don't all have the same interests. And so the only one thing that I can think of in life where we all share the same thing is that eventually during the day, we're going to get hungry. Eventually during the day, we're going to want to sit down and eat. And so I think that God uses this. And so for the sake of time tonight, because I better hurry up because I'm on page 2 of 8 and I got 15 more minutes, I'm going to read fast here. Jewish tradition recognizes a meal as a time of intimacy, fellowship, significant conversation. Kindness is the basic mood of the Jewish meal. People are fed and nourished, and it's an intimate setting where people talk with each other about what matters the most. Even enemies in Jewish culture would come together to share a meal. Feasts and breaking of bread was a big deal in biblical times. There was no fast food. Everything was prepared by hands and served respectfully. Having a guest to eat was always a big deal. We can look into many occasions where Jesus broke bread, and each instance something significant was happening. We look at the wedding feast in Cana where Jesus turned water into wine. They were breaking bread. In the desert where Jesus blessed 5 loaves of bread and he asked everyone to sit down and 2 fishes and then he fed 5,000 men. They were breaking bread. In the wilderness later he gave thanks for and blessed 7 loaves of bread and a few fishes and then he fed 4,000 men. This is times where Jesus was breaking bread. He was distributing his knowledge to people as they sat and they ate. The house of Martha and Mary, this is where Jesus told Martha that she worried about things that weren't important, but they were breaking bread together. The house of a certain Pharisee where Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the lawyers. He was there. They were kind of like an adversarial type of situation, but for some reason they're in the same house together breaking bread and talking and having communication. It's almost like they put their sword down for a minute and now they're just nothing in their hand but bread. So they tried to see eye to eye and Jesus told them, you know, you're wrong. The house of one of the chief Pharisees, Jesus healed a man of dropsy and he gave out the parable of the ambitious guest and also the parable of the great supper. They were breaking bread. The house of Simon the leper, Jesus allowed Mary to anoint his feet with oil and rebuked Judas Iscariot for criticizing what Mary did, but he was breaking bread with both of those individuals. The Last Supper, celebrating the Passover, Jesus announced that he would be betrayed And he instituted the Last Supper as a memorial, but he also predicted Peter's denial and taught on servanthood and washed his disciples' feet. But during all this craziness of one supper, they were just there breaking bread together. The house of two men he met on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus had already been resurrected, and he kind of covertly joined the group walking down the road. And they were all talking about all the things that had occurred. And so Jesus is just like all chilling with them. But until they got to their house and they said, hey, why don't you come over to our house? They sat down and Jesus broke the bread. And they're like, whoa, that's Jesus right there. For some reason at that point, they did not realize it until he broke the bread. And then that point of they're like, this is Jesus. And then he began to rebuke them for their lack of faith. But they were there breaking bread. It was important stuff that they were talking about. In Jerusalem, with the disciples and others, Jesus explained that his death and resurrection was going to come. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Ghost. They were there together, breaking bread. With the seven disciples at the Sea of Galilee, after Jesus had been crucified, but not yet completely brought into the mix, so there were seven disciples there fishing. They're out fishing all night, and Jesus asked them to cast their nets onto the other side. And Jesus then, whenever they finally, Peter jumped out of the boat, swam up. Peter just got done denying Jesus, right? Swims up, and Jesus, what is he doing? He's cooking fish and bread. He breaks bread with his disciples there. That was the one that weirds me out the most. This is the glorified Christ, the one who's already been risen from the grave, has no need for anything. He can walk through walls. He can probably fly around and just zap things, but for some reason, the desire to eat with his disciples was still in place. The need to break bread was still there. There's something innate in Jesus' nature, his character, to want and desire to sit down with people and eat with them. Something is unexplainable to me. One of those weird things that I can't completely wrap my head around, that the God of all creation wanted to become a human being in flesh and blood so that he could stick a piece of bread in his mouth and look at somebody and talk to them. Something about that he wanted. It's a great desire in God's. In my mind, this is something that God desires, to break bread with his people. We know that before God instituted the law, with Moses, he first instituted the Passover, which was a supper, where God wanted the people to come into the house and break bread together and eat the lamb together as a family. But also, the invitation was anyone who could get into the house, they could also come along too. If they were single, the situation, the door was open to them as long as they were in the door. Leviticus 23, we find God himself establishing the Jewish calendar and the eternal prophetic time clock for all eternity, marking each milestone with a holiday feast. The feast, all these feasts, the Feast of Weeks, the feast, it's crazy that Jesus was so interested in eating all the time. I never really looked at it until this studying for this sermon. Leviticus 23:1. If you're not familiar with Leviticus 23, it's a super powerful scripture. And everyone makes fun of Leviticus, it's no fun to read. This chapter is the most crucial chapter for understanding eternity that we have. Leviticus 23 is kind of like it's a timepiece, it's a clock. It tells everything in prophetic revelation. It starts off like this. 23:1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, even these are my feasts." So there's not anything else that's happened really. And at this point, Jesus is saying, this is your calendar, and it's going to, every milestone of your calendar is going to be a big old huge feast. We're going to come together. You're not going to be able to work. I'm going to say work is outlawed on this day. Not because I don't want you to work, not because of any other reason, but I want you to come together, sit down, look at each other, and share the moment together and eat together and think about these things. The very first feast that's even recognized, which blew me away when I realized this when I'm studying this, is the very first feast, and I never could understand this about Leviticus 23, but it mentions the very first feast is the Sabbath. I've never seen the Sabbath. I see the Sabbath as a day of rest, but God sees it as a feast day. It's recognized in Leviticus 23 as the first feast. The first feast recognizes the Sabbath, the weekly, every week. God wanted everyone to stop working, come together as families. You couldn't even travel. Like, there was travel restrictions. You couldn't go very far from the home because that was outlawed. God was so adamant, he wanted them to come together and eat together. I feel like that there's... I can't talk about that. I only have 7 minutes. Becoming someone's... Let me say this. There's a book called Never Eat Alone. Anybody ever read that or seen it before? Never Eat Alone? No? In that book, there's a few statements. I just want to talk about those today. Poverty, this is a quote. Poverty, I realized, wasn't only a lack of financial resources. It was isolation from the kind of people who could help you make more of yourself. So saying poverty wasn't just a lack of resources or lack of money, but it was isolation from people who could help you be better. So one of the foundational problems with poverty is that they don't have a way out. Like, no one can tell them, if they're poor, how to start a business, because there's no one around that's willing to invest that time. And so I think of this in spiritual sense, is that many of our friends, our families, and even backsliders that we know, they have a spiritual poverty. And here we are with spiritual riches, wealthy spiritual people. We have great wealth spiritually. We know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are connected to heaven in ways that many people can't even comprehend or even understand. We have knowledge about spiritual things that's deep, real, and effective. And people around us don't have that. They don't understand it. They don't even know what questions to ask. They have spiritual poverty. It's that if we invite those kind of people who have spiritual poverty into our lives, sit down and eat with them, and help them understand the questions that they need to ask. I feel like Jesus did this sometimes. People would come to him and ask him a question, and he would say, well, that's not the question I'm going to answer. I'm going to give you a different answer for make you start asking the right questions. He did that in Matthew chapter 3, or I'm sorry, John chapter 3, John chapter 4. You're asking the wrong questions. Let me help you. You have spiritual poverty. Another one of these quotes, it says, I've come to believe that connecting is one of the most important business and life skills sets that you'll ever learn. Why? Because flat out, people do business with people they know and like. Careers in every imaginable field work the same way. Never eat alone. In other words, spend your time with people. And these are job skills or career skills, but in spiritual sense, there's also some skills, spiritual gifts, spiritual knowledge, spiritual understandings that we can share with one another. It can only happen one way, where we stop everything that we're doing, we take a break, we sit down with an individual, share a meal together, possibly break some bread, and we begin to help them with some skills. I feel like there's a big lack here. Another one is human ambitions are like Japanese carp. I wish Pastor Roy was here because I think about his koi pond. They grow proportionally to the size of their environment. If you've ever seen a goldfish, you put a goldfish in a bowl, that's as big as the goldfish gets. You put that goldfish in a pond or a lake, that thing can get big because it understands that it won't grow any bigger than its environment. I don't know how it does that. But what this man is saying is that people are the same way. If they don't have a pond, so to speak, big enough for them to expand in, they'll only be as big as the environment that they are currently in. In a spiritual sense, it's also the same thing. Spiritually speaking, if their spiritual experience is only minor Easter Sunday at a Catholic church, they don't understand. Their spiritual knowledge comes from a television. They don't understand how to grow beyond that. And so it's up to us to get those people and bring them into our environment. Bring them into our pond. Bring them into an environment where they can see that there's some bigger possibilities. There's more to life than what they've known. But there's something bigger out there for them. And there's more opportunity than what they could ever understand or comprehend until they move from their environment into a better one they'll never know. Whenever I was a Bible school student, and then I was asked to work at the Bible school. At that point in time, I didn't realize I had kind of crossed over a threshold of where I became, before I was just a student, but now I was a faculty member. As a faculty member, it became my job a lot of times to entertain very important people. It was it was a lot of pressure on me because suddenly, like, they're like, Jerry, I need you to take these folks out and get them some food and hang out with them. And it's like talking about missionary Benny DeMerchant, okay, or Lee Stone King. I'm trying to eat with somebody like this, and I'm like, I don't even know where to start, you know. And what was weird about it is that some of them understood the awkwardness that I was in, so they would help me with the conversation, what we should be talking about. Other ones didn't, but the ones that did impacted my life such a deep way. I thought I was picking good restaurants. They didn't really care what we were eating. They were there to speak into my life. And so I think it is these speaking into each other's lives moments are crucial in the simple church model. The simple church model of breaking of bread. So I know it's closing in on 8. I feel like I barely touched the topic. Let me tell you where my heart was when I began to look at this information. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been handed material or subjects to preach. That's never happened to me before. I didn't realize that's never happened. It happened to me a couple times at ABI when I was teaching a class. They just give me a topic, and that was what I was supposed to create curriculum or create a sermon. Well, this last couple of weeks, Christmas time, I was given like 4 minutes, and I had to do what Peter asked me to do. I never had to do that before, so it was kind of like hard for me, like, oh, whoa, that's a whole different concept. Tonight's the same way. Pastor Roy asked me to preach about connection, to preach about outreach, to preach about these things. In my heart, though, the sermon that was in me was, what are we going to do to reach the backsliders, our lost family members? What is it that we're going to do? What is it that we can do to reach folks who have walked away from the faith? Let me tell you a secret. You can ask a backslider or someone who's walked away from God, and I say that respectfully. If you're listening online and you're not with us right now, possibly you feel like this could be offensive. I'm not trying to be offensive. But I'll say it this way, is that you can ask them 100 times to come to church, and they'll tell you no 100 times. You can ask them one time to come to a barbecue, they'll probably come. You can ask them to join you for lunch somewhere, at Chipotle or at the Raging Cajun. They'll probably show up. In my opinion, it's so much more important for us as a church in 2022 to prepare the tables everywhere than it is just to have preparation in one pulpit a couple days a week. You have tables in your homes. You have tables at work. You have tables at the restaurants near your house. Those tables can be used for the glory of God, breaking bread together. And so, as far as connection is concerned, let's all stand. I don't want to belabor the point tonight. But I don't know if you guys seen the little slide that was up at the beginning of the service. Some of you came in late and you missed those slides. But we communicate as much as we can on those slides to try to cut down on the length of service so that our announcements aren't a year long. But on the 30th of January, we're going to have what we call a connection fair. Connection fair. So in times past, we had a thing called a ministry fair at Calvary Gospel Church, where ministries would place a booth up in the fellowship hall, and folks who were interested in being a part of different ministries, they would come by that booth and get information on how to become a part of that ministry, if they wanted to be in that ministry as far as a group member, but they could also become a leader, and they would go through ministry placement and become a leader. But we also, this last year, we created a lot of connection groups. Anybody here been to any connection group events this year? Raise your hand if you've been to a connection group event. So connection groups, if you haven't caught on to what a connection group is, it's not a spiritual thing, right? Like, a full throttle is not spiritual. We talk about cars and hot rods. People do some minorly illegal things occasionally, which I do not promote. We have a lot of fun. But what I've seen in those events is that hungry people come to those events and we eat physical food. And in those moments in time when we're together, oftentimes it leads to another event of just coming together and eating. Two or three events like that, and suddenly a spiritual conversation takes place. And I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of young guys in our church who are part of Full Throttle who have had very significant, important spiritual conversations with individuals who thought they were just coming to see some cars and hang out with some guys, because we created a connection. So these connection groups are all through our church. They're, right now, I have a list of nearly 40 different ministries and groups that are going to be represented during this connection fair. If you're a leader here, I probably talked to you face to face, but I just want to remind you on the 30th, it's important that you have your booth ready and you have some presentation materials, but more so than a booth and all this cool signage and all that stuff, but you're there, standing there face to face, connecting with people who might want to be a part of what you're doing. And if you have a ministry here, Hyphen Ministry, Youth Ministry, or others, Sunday School, it's an important time that you might be able to gain some help. Sunday school teachers, there's people in this congregation that have callings to start doing something, but they don't have an understanding of how to start. And they just need you to be there in front of a table to tell them what to do. Sometimes it's just really that simple. And so I just want to remind everybody about the connection fair. Our ministry leaders, our connection group leaders, if you're here tonight, if you're watching online, we just want everyone to be prepared for that. We're going to have a bunch of food over there. It's going to be a time of fellowship. Whenever we have the connection fair, though, could you just slow down for a moment? Let the little dinger go off in the background. Just let it ding, 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 ding. Yep, it's time to go. It's time, blah, blah, blah. We got to get out of here, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I don't know who made that dinger. I don't know where it even came from, but I need to slow down and connect with people better. And so I'm asking you as a member of Calvary Gospel Church, first of all, would you, as a reminder to yourself over the course of the next couple days, somehow get that Acts 2:42 written down somewhere on your dash of your car, put it somewhere memorable, email it to yourself, text yourself, get a background on your phone, put a bookmark in your Bible, whatever it is to remind you that this is the year that we're going to go back to a more simple understanding of what church is. Just fellowship, breaking of bread, doctrine, and prayer. Amen. These are the basic building blocks. And all these other things that we add to it, connection groups and ministries, those are great. But if we don't have the fundamental elements of the church in place, then what are we doing? We need to be in fellowship together. We need to spend time together. We need to break bread together. Amen. So let's come together and break bread. Amen. Tonight, if you'd like to pray, the altars are open. If you'd like to come down and pray, if you have any needs to come down, that'd be great. But if you'd like to get connected into a connection group, or you want to start a connection group, or you have some interest in anything I've said tonight, just come and see me, and we can talk further about it. Amen. The next portion of this will be fellowship. I believe Sister Jess. I'm sorry. It'll be doctrine, and Sister Jessica will be talking to us a little about the importance of having a single doctrine for our church, that we all believe the same thing and understand that. But tonight, if you want to come down and pray, I invite you to come on down. Let's all pray. Amen.
You are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love.
Someone that you're thinking of, that you came to mind while Pastor Jerry was talking about those that are out of the church, bring that name down to the altar now and ask the Lord for a direction. Ask the Lord for a plan. Help him. Let him give you insight as to how to best minister to that individual. Before you go tonight, leave here with a plan. Leave here with a table in mind that you can share with them. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
too many of us are gone, we want to remind everyone of a couple of things. This Saturday, there will be a funeral here in the building. So if you have any plans to be here for any reason, please keep that in mind. Be respectful. There is a funeral here at 11 o'clock. And, of course, the Hmong Church has church in the afternoon. So whatever your plans are for Saturday, if they include being here in the building, please keep that in mind. Also, tomorrow, Midwinter Camp in Green Bay is beginning Thursday and Friday. And, of course, our Southern Midwinter Camp is the 27th and 28th at Parkway. So please keep those things in mind. God bless you in Jesus' name.